This is Paula Matthews. I want to welcome all our listeners, especially the new listeners we have on Spotify. We're definitely extending our reach to get our message out. So look for Epic Books and Cafe, www.epicbooksandcafe.com. Hello, this is Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe, and today's episode is a little bit different because it's coming from Scripture, but at the same time, it's a tough message to speak. But the Lord gave this to me earlier in the week, and He's been talking to me about it for days now, and He said it had to come out today, so I am doing this under the obedience of the Lord Jesus Christ, who has commanded me to release this message, and it's entitled, God's Plan for His People is all round rest. Now, it seems to be a strange thing to say people want rest when you see in the news media and in the church and in the world at large, there's a lot of fighting going on, bickering going on, a lot of words being thrown in the news media, people fighting with each other in general. But God's plan for His people is not to be part of that, to be in what He considers all round rest from fights. Fights with your family, fights with enemies. We are people that are a whole demeanor and even our fruit of the Spirit. We talk about love, joy, and peace, and we're supposed to be peaceful people. And what He wants is us to have rest from our enemies. Now, it's interesting because we are in a war. So how do you find rest in a war? And the way God views it is a bit different than the way we look at it. His rest means stop from doing your thing, the flesh thing, and start doing things His way. We got this concept of rest from the Bible. Genesis chapter 2, verse 2, talks about how God saw all the works of His hands, and He rested. It says, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it He had rested from all His work, which God created and made. And that's why we're talking about a rest. When we're resting from all the works we created with our hands and resting in what God has made through Jesus Christ. And that's going to be the premise for everything we're going to talk about in the whole sense of all-round rest. So how this came up, we were with the prayer group and we were praying and the Lord brought up all-round rest. And when I was looking at it, it was kind of scary to me at first because God's concept of rest and our human concept of rest is not exactly the same thing. When God rests, He wants us to be obedient to Him and do what He says. And then He gives us rest with our enemies. But when He took me back to Scripture, how it was when Moses was with the people of God, and how He told them that they have to go up and go against the enemy. You have to contend with the enemy. It's like, okay, how do you get rest if you're contending with someone? Again, God's sense of rest and peace is peace with Him, resting in Him. Not necessarily resting in peaceful with individuals who are working against Him. Because when you're resting with God and you're obeying God, you are going to automatically have enemies who are going to come against you. But what the Lord had shown me that was quite disturbing is He took me to the book of Joshua. In Joshua chapter 12, now you know that they were in the wilderness. They were taken out of slavery for the purpose of going in and possessing their promise that God had promised to Abraham. This was a covenant promise that He was going to give land to the people. But He had to get them out of slavery. They were enslaved in Egypt for 430 years, but the Lord released them for the sole purpose of fulfilling His covenant promise with Abraham. And here we have Joshua chapter 12, and it reads, verse 1 reads, now these are the kings of the land which the children of Israel smote and possessed their land on the other side of Jordan toward the rising of the sun and from the river Amnon unto Hermon and all the plains of the east. Now the next 23 verses describes the kings and the lands and how they were taken. And at the very end of this chapter 12 in Joshua, it talks about the final king that they mention is King Tirzah. He was one king. But then they said all the kings, and they're talking about how many of the people God had to slay in order to take their land. It says all the kings, 30 and 1. And the next chapter says, now Joshua was old and stricken in years, and the Lord said unto him, thou art old and stricken in years, and there remaineth yet much land to be possessed. And that is the message God is speaking to His people. There is much land to be possessed. We're talking about spiritual territory. It includes some physical territory, but there are things that we have not done in the earth. And there still remains a day of rest for the people of God. But we have to do what God told us to do and take possession of the land. Now, it's not a pretty message, But so much has been going on, I would say probably within the last 4 or 8 years, where people have been fighting the notion of people in the church being involved in government issues, whether it's the prophets talking to leaders or apostles being sent to leaders. But if you go through the book of the Bible, all the books of the Bible, from Genesis to Revelation, God talks about nations. And there's a reason for it, because we're talking about the kingdom of God, which is the government. Okay, so the government of God is operating through the people of God. We are his elect. That's what the Bible calls us in the New Testament, the elect. We're the called out ones, just like the representatives are called out in our physical governments. You have the House of Representatives, you have U.S. Senators. Those are called out people to represent their governments for those states. As Christians, we are also called out to be ambassadors. That's what the Apostle Paul called us, ambassadors of Jesus Christ to the world. So we have another kingdom, we have another operating government that takes precedence over everything that's out here. But the thing is, though, we have to be obedient to God first before we can find rest in the earth and in our lands. So when he's talking about all-around rest, he's talking about being obedient to your government of God and doing what Jesus Christ has anointed you to do on this earth, which is to go into all the world, preach the gospel, and making disciples of all men. Now that means, as ambassadors, you got to show them another way. You got to show them how the kingdom of God operates in finances, in family, in business, in government. That's our whole purpose on earth. That's how we make disciples. We show them something and we tell them how you got it, you went through the Bible. And a lot of people resist that because they're thinking, well, I just need to be a good person. That's not what Jesus said. A good person is not going to heaven. You have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord. Now, what Lord means, he is your master. Lord means he tells you what to do. You don't do things on your own. And part of the reason we have so much commotion in the earth amongst God's people is because they're not in their place. They're not obeying him. They're obeying flesh. And one of the works of flesh is, it's called witchcraft, which is controlling and manipulating people to do what you want when God is telling them to do elsewhere. And that's what's causing a lot of the commotion in the earth today. But what the Lord clearly stated in the Bible, and it's all throughout the Bible, when he raises up his people, we contend, not with necessarily the individuals, but we contend with leadership of nations from the very beginning. Even when Jesus was on earth, he did not go against the people. He actually had an issue with the government leaders and also the leaders of the church. And from the beginning of time, that's where God's focus is, on leadership. So when you see people talking and people who are involved in government who are called Christians, don't talk about them. Find out where your position is. You may be one of the ones set behind to serve tables, to do cleanup work. But there are certain individuals that are sent to government because Jesus Christ came for the sole purpose of bringing his kingdom. And remember that issue he had with Pilate, when Pilate says, "So you are a king." And Jesus says, "For that reason I was born," but he says, "My kingdom is not yet come." However, he did tell us as believers, the kingdom is inside of us. So when we obey the Spirit of God in us, we bring the kingdom to light. So for instance, I'm doing this broadcast. I did the writing. I did everything the Lord told me to do. I did the research, stayed up one whole night without going to bed, listening to God so that I can present this today. So as I'm presenting, that means that the kingdom of God has come in your midst. Now, if I decided not to do it and just chose to do something else, then the kingdom of God would not be in operation. But what makes a difference is when the kingdom of God is in operation, so are the angels. And the angels fight our battles for us. They're the ones that will protect us from an enemy onslaught when the enemy comes against us. But know this, if you're going to stand up for God, like Peter, I think it was Peter that said it. He says, anyone who lives godly, you're going to suffer persecution because the enemy hates us. And so even though we're trying to get all around rest, remember, our rest and peace has to be with God first and let him deal with our enemies. But what really struck me is when he was talking about all of these kings, the leaders of nations that were destroyed. And the Lord took me back to Daniel 2:4-4, where Daniel prophesied that there were going to be other kingdoms, but God was raising up a kingdom in the midst that was going to break in pieces all the other kingdoms. And Revelation tells us that the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of our Christ. So what you're talking about kingdoms, you're talking kings. It means that the kings are going to have to submit to God in order to survive in these days before Jesus comes and thereafter. So when we're doing our ministry, when we're operating as Christians, know the ultimate goal for God is kingdom, to bring the kingdoms of the world, to bring your own personal kingdom that you may be exalting against God, your personal ideas, your personal thoughts and deeds, to bring those all under the kingdom of God. Because he called us, and he started this in Israel. When he called them, he said, "You're a peculiar treasure unto me." He called them a holy nation. You know, you're talking a kingdom, a priest, and a holy nation. And even in 1 Peter 2:9, that's what God calls the church. We are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, that we should show forth the praises of him who called us out of darkness into his light. So our whole lives are to show forth the praises of God. And we do that by obeying him, not just being good people. There are a lot of people doing good that aren't good. That's not what makes a difference. One of the things Jesus said, the world would know that we're his disciples by the love we have for one another. So stop backbiting and bickering with other Christians and show some love, because that's what people need more than anything. And unfortunately, people have to know that God is love. And if you are of God, you will show that love. And it doesn't mean just going along with everything. The Lord already told us, he's called many Christians codependents with the evil that's out here, co-conspirators and codependents of evil. Why? Because they were just going along with everything to be nice. That's not love. If you know somebody's going to be hurt by their actions and you just watch it, you're complicit in their sin. And God will hold you responsible for that. So as Christians, we stand up for justice. We stand up for truth. We stand up for the principles in the Bible that Jesus stood up for. We just don't let things happen on our watch. And in particular, that's why the Bible says, 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people, we have to turn from our sin. We have to repent of our wicked ways and stop doing our own thing and turn around, pray to God, and let him show us what to do. Everything depends on our obedience as believers. Why? Because we are the kings. Remember, we are royal priesthood. We're a kingdom of saints. Even everything that's written, Daniel wrote about, he talked about how the kingdom was turned over to the saints of God. We have the kingdom operating in us and through us. So it's time for us to actually represent God and do what he's telling us to do in this hour and stop bickering and fighting with the rest of the world, because our job is to represent the kingdom as ambassadors. And so when the Lord kept showing me the violent takeovers that had to be done in the wilderness, we have to have that same violent spirit to take what God has promised us. Now, it doesn't mean we physically have to go out and slay people like they did back in the day, but it means we have to have a violent faith. As Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is suffering violence, and the violent take it by force. So there are people out here that are suffering. They're hurt. They're in pain. They're in suffering. But the devil tells them, well, just take some medicine. You're never going to get well. No, if you're a believer, part of your covenant provision is health and healing. So you take it. Jesus, by his stripes, you were healed. He took the stripes on that whipping post so that you could be healed. So you have to violently take that by faith. This is a fight of faith, people. You can't just go around doing what you want and falling into what everybody else is doing and think you're going to have the promises of God. No, what makes you different as a believer is you look like what's in that Bible. You operate by what's in that Bible. While other people are sick, you're healed. While other people are suffering financially, you're prospering. While other people are down and upset and confused and caught up in the rigorous conversations and the rhetoric going on, and you're in peace and you're talking lovely things and wonderful things, they're going to say, well, what's up with you? You'll say, Jesus, I have another master. I have another world. I have another other thing that I'm dealing with, and I'm being blessed. So you have to understand that that's how God wants us to have all-round rest. And you have to imagine, when the people of God were in the wilderness, they had to go up against the Ites, the Hittites, the Girgashites, the Amorites, all those giants and wickedness in the wilderness. But they were told that they didn't have to fight in that battle. They did some fighting, but for the most part, when they obeyed God, they were told that an angel will go before you and he will take out the enemy for you, because I'm sending you up against seven nations that are more powerful than you. And that's what it looks like in the world, that the devil's people are more powerful. Well, yeah, because he hasn't been opposed. There have been few Christians, in America at least, that actually stand up to the devil. They just roll over, whatever you want, got to take care of it, God is in control. No, God said, I gave the control and dominion to my people. It's one of the reasons the Lord had me do the new book, Break Forth. This is our mandate to take dominion over our lives, over our families, over the things that have been negative and twisted, to say, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you say do, and then he will give you all-round rest. Because once we obey, then he can put the enemy in shackles and chains and keep him away from doing any more damage. And that's what God wants. So when I looked at all these kings they slew, I'm like, oh my goodness. And what are the reasons they slew the kings? The kings did not want them to be on their land. They were fighting God's people for crossing over on the land. And what do you see today in Israel? They're fighting them for the land that God gave them. So it's not going to go well for the people who are fighting them. But you know what? It has to be, because the Bible said there was going to be a fight. Now, unfortunately, like America, so much of Israel has turned away from God. So they have to turn back to God like America does, because so many Christians have been complacent in their faith. But in these last days, you're going to be able to know who is with God and who's not with God based on what they do and what they say. It's not going to be about being nice anymore. It's going to be, are you connected? Are you operating in obedience? Are you speaking the truth and not speaking what the news media is speaking? Are you speaking health and healing instead of sickness? Are you speaking youth and vitality instead of oldness and decrepity? Jesus never spoke those words. He never said those words, because even Moses, they were in their 80s, with their eyes weren't dimmed, the natural forces not abated. You know, Caleb, were they going to take his mountain after the age of 80? So we have to understand, we don't live like the world. Like, go back in the Old Testament. People lived for, 800, 900 years. It was normal to live hundreds of years. You know, that was something that people did. Now, after the fall, that started to change. But the whole point is, we can't think like the world and get the promises of God. And that's where we want all-around rest. We're going to have to do it God's way. Listen to God and deal with it that way. Now, we're talking about things that are happening in America these days. You have people who are fighting over who God put in the White House. Okay, stop it. Find out what you're supposed to be doing. Let the man do his job. You find out what God is doing. Because what's really disturbing is when I hear people who are professing to be Christians come against somebody who claims to be Christian, been doing everything for Christ in a way that's public. I'm thinking, okay, well, what's your issue? People, they're having, like I did before, they got prayer meetings and worship services going on. And people aren't perfect, but they're trying to step forward and put Jesus Christ as the center, getting back to those values of faith. And unfortunately, too many people who claim to be faith are the ones that are fighting, and you should not do that. And I heard the Lord say this the other day. He says, you do not want to be in this hour called the accuser of the brethren. That's Satan's position. Revelation 12:10 tells us he's before God day and night, bad-mouthing Christians. So if you're bad-mouthing another person who's in the body of Christ, you are considered an accuser of the brethren. And the Lord said you will get the same rewards as that Satan would get if you don't repent. Because God hates it when people create discord among the brethren, meaning tearing different people apart. How can you expect to stand when you're tearing your body apart? If we're all the body of Christ, regardless of what you think, if somebody is professing to be a Christian and you're going to fight them still and you call yourself a Christian, something's wrong with that. Somewhere you're not tied up with Jesus Christ, or his spirit's not in you, and you're just talking Christ, but he's not there in you. We got to really get real about what the Bible says. But I heard the Lord say there are many Christians now, because of their bad mouthing what's going on in the country, and these are Christians, that you are considered the accuser of the brethren, and it's not going to go well for you if you do not repent. Again, Jesus said they would know us by our love for one another. Not just lovey-lovey-dovey, no. Are we supportive people? Are we speaking supportive things and not talking the negative rhetoric? People, God, this is a serious message, because we want all-round rest. We want to stop the fighting, but we have to stop fighting because we're reaping what we're sowing. And we have to get back to looking at what the Word says. And another word I heard the Lord tell me this week, he says, we need to be praying more for our leaders that they would be obedient to the Spirit of God. And I heard him clearly say that our civic leaders are God's ministers. I heard the Holy Spirit say that. And then he took me to the scripture, because Romans 13, 3 and 4 says that they are ministers of God. Their power comes from God, which means if we want change in our world, we have to do it God's way. Because we want to say God is in control, but he's only in control if his people are prayerful and obedient. But when we're not, God's hands are tied. But we have to remember his scripture. What is it? Proverbs says the heart of the king is in the hand of God, and he turns it as he will. Yeah, but God's hand can't turn if his people, who are the hands of God, are doing something else with their hands. If they're going after Baal, if they're going after evil, going after flesh things, God's hands are tied. He can only do what he can do when the people of God do their work. So he talked about the civic leaders, and he says when they profess to be Christian, you better be very careful how you deal with them, because you will be, as I said before, called accuser of the brethren in the eyes of God. We pray for those in authority. That's what we're told to do, so that we can lead a quiet and peaceable life in all honesty and godliness. So if we don't see it, it's because the people of God are not praying. Or you're praying your own will, which is witchcraft. If you're not praying what the Word of God says, when the Word of God says that you are performing in witchcraft, and there's a lot of that going on in the church, people who think they know and haven't consulted with God about anything. So this is a dangerous time now for us to be playing with the things of God. And in these last days, we're going to see a lot of things happen to so-called Christians. A lot of people are going to be leaving us. A lot of people are going to be taken out, some of it not so pretty, because God is putting his foot down. And the reason he's doing it is because those of us who have a plan of God, we're trying to cross through the land. We're trying to possess the land, possess the promises, and we're being opposed, even by our own people. By the people who call themselves Christians are opposing God. Why? Because they can't hear God. They have no connection with God. And I remember the Holy Spirit giving me scriptures. I saw a lot of crazies going on. He reminded me of the scripture that Jesus said, that a man's foes are in his household. And he talked about parents fighting just kids, and kids putting people, their parents to death, and parents putting their kids to death. And I'm like, Lord, he said, that's where we are. He said, because so many people think they know God, but they're not hearing God. And Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice, and they will follow no one else. So if you're wanting to have all-round rest, you're going to have to follow the good shepherd, hear his voice, and follow his voice alone. Because that's what he's saying is tripping us up in this day. But people want rest. We want the promises of God. But if you're fighting God, if you're accusing the brethren, if you're doing everything but what God says to do and doing not doing his way, you're not going to have rest. The wicked will have no rest. But for those who want all-round rest, we have to be an imitator of the Father. And what did he do? He looked at the works he did before the foundation of the world, and he rested and said, it's very good. And that's what we need to be doing. Find out what he has for us. Do what he says and do it his way to make a difference. The world needs to see a different way of living, and that's what God is calling us to do. Do it his way. Don't worry about how it's been done in the past. He wants to make a difference between his people and the people of the world. That means we got to talk different, walk different, look different, produce different things. And that's what he's having us do, and that's what he's having us plan for this upcoming season. So just know in this hour, if you want to have all-round rest, you're going to have to become an imitator of God. You're going to have to do what he says, speak what he says, live how he says, and truly become the holy nation, the kingdom of priests that he called us to be as a nation. We are the chosen generation, and this is our time to rise and shine for the light of our Father, the light of our God. His glory is upon us now. So that is the message. It wasn't a pretty message, but it was a hard message for today. As I said, the Lord has been on me all week to get this done. He said last night, he said clearly, I want it out tomorrow. So here it is. And it says in Hebrews, there remains a rest for the people of God. Our fight is the fight of faith. Our weapons are our words and our obedient actions to the Father. And when we're obedient, the angels of God will fight and take out our enemies. But we have to make sure that we're speaking what God says speak, and we're doing what he's doing his way. True submission, as the Bible talks about, we can't resist the devil and do our own thing. We have to first submit ourselves to God. Then we have the power to resist the devil, and he will flee. Now, there is another part of that story, too. If you're getting elevated, Joyce Meyer used to say, another level, another devil. So the fight's not over until we leave, but we have to continue stepping up and getting victory and taking victory over every challenge that comes before us. That's the message for today. Now, if you have any questions, you know how to reach us and contact us at epicbookscafe.com. But we thank you for joining us and being with us. God bless and keep you. This has been Paula Matthews for Epic Books and Cafe. Until next time.
Hello, this is Paula Matthews, and I'm introducing my latest release called Break Forth, Fulfilling God's Dominion Mandate. This is a book the Lord gave me, and it was based on Isaiah 54, 2 and 3 that says, enlarge the place of thy tent, and let them stretch forth the curtains of thine inhabitants. Spare not, lengthen thy cords and strengthen thy stakes, for thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left. And that is what God is demanding of his people in this hour, that we break forth into his promises. We're looking at an open door that the Lord has set before us. It's time to break forth into the promise, break forth in the destiny that God has for you. Break Forth by Paula Matthews. Book is available for order at Barnes & Noble Books.